Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Mic Check on our new day, Monday. This is Gwen Berry. I'm in South Florida. And with me is Kevin Blanche of... But Kevin, what is the name of your video blog? I know you're on Roundtree 7 with us, but do you have a name on yours, or is it just
Kevin? Yeah, my name. Kevin D. Blanche. And the reason I use that middle initial is that's my father's name, who was nuked to death in Nevada test site, and there's other Kevin Blanches out there, as we know. I got to differentiate myself, and then my website is called Blanche Schwartz.
Oh, yeah, right. Cool. So there's plenty of information, plenty more information over at Kevin D. Blanche on YouTube, so folks should know to go there. We were just having a conversation, and I'd like to run back over that and begin again. We began as you were speaking about the massive demonstrations going on in Japan right now.
Yeah, I think it ties in with the Occupy movement. It ties in with the global protest. This protest that's going on in Japan is bigger than any of them by far. This is a major, major, major deal that no one is reporting. You know, there's a couple young vloggers, Ryan's over there with a video camera right there. The Japanese culture does not protest. They do not protest. They are protesting. Massive demonstrations. Yesterday, they're getting violent. The police are shutting them down. The government over there is starting to jail people for reporting anything out of Fukushima. They're passed a law that goes into effect October 1st. You know, they're trying to push it up first. Anybody who reports anything out of there is going to jail. So they are doing everything they can to smash this thing down over there. And the Japanese people, like I said, Japanese people do not protest. Oh, are they protesting? It is a major, major deal. There were 200,000 people in the streets in Tokyo the other night.
Yeah, there were actually pictures online with Lori M. I can't pronounce his last name. His Fukushima Diary blog has a lot of pictures of the demonstrators out in the
Oh, there's live footage. Ryan, the vlogger, he's over there live with freaking video camera. He's getting it live. There's helicopter videos of, you know, the people who shot that helicopter video, that media, they're in fear, afraid they're going to jail. I mean, it is unbelievable, the repression, and not one single media outlet in the Western world, not one, will report this.
It's shameful.
The biggest nuclear disaster in the history of the world by thousands. This is Chernobyl on Balco. This blows Chernobyl away as it was downplayed. This will kill tens of millions of people, and they won't even know it killed them. Is not being reported. What's
right?
You can get into politics. You can get into economics. You can get into anything you want to get in. And it does not matter via one thing, nuclear fallout. It trumps it all, the environment. This is the biggest story of our time by thousands and thousands of times. What does it matter, economics? What does it matter, politics? What does it matter if everyone's getting sick and the environment's being poisoned and of cancer? It doesn't matter. Trust me, I've been there. Your money don't mean shit. I've been in that AML leukemia unit since October 13th. Fighting for my life, and money means
right.
Shit.
Right.
It's obscene, our media. Our media and this 1%, and the corporate ring kissers, which I call nothing but a bunch of Rupert's, Fox News, corporate media whores, and they're bitches they lead around on leashes. And all these people in America, that's what they are.
It's stunning. It's stunning, the lack of discovery on what's going on over there. And when I see it, of course, like any other person, something inside me hits my heart and I get frightened. But I wanted to ask you about the report of the Fukushima reactor cooling system being suspended Saturday.
Yeah, I broke that story Saturday morning.
Okay.
They,
can you explain what they've done?
Well, the biggest part of that story is this. Number 4 is sitting there naked with an incredible, massive amount of spent fuel rods in it.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows, anybody who has any knowledge knows that if this number 4 goes, it's going to be the end of the Japanese society and a massive end to the world society as we know it. Well,
right.
we the biggest part of the story is not that this was being reported. It was who was reporting it. TEPCO themselves admitted that their cooling system failed for a short period of time. And so there is the story. The story is, and they cannot be believed, anything they say. They are proven, documented, gilded in gold, casting in concrete, liars. The nuclear industry, TEPCO are the biggest liar. They make the banksters look like church mice. These are liars. And when they come out and they say this thing is sitting naked over there. We've pushed plutonium into the Pacific for 500 days now. This thing is thousands and thousands of times Chernobyl already. But if that thing goes and it's laying there naked and it is a pure ticking time bomb, and when they come out and admit that their cooling system shut down for a period, and then they came back later in the day and says, oh, we got it fired back up. I mean, we're playing such Russian roulette, people have no clue. The power that is sitting in that spent fuel pool, number four, of gamma rays and fission and fusion is of such epic power, unforeseen in the history of this world. This is beyond science fiction land.
I hear
you. And so that was TEPCO themselves released that. Kudo reported it. I reposted it immediately. You know, I've got people over there in Japan that are brilliant, brilliant people that are living in Tokyo that anything happens, they get it to me immediately. You know, and so when they report this, it's not the cameras on it, it's not freelance journalists, it was TEPCO themselves. So, you know, we have to take everything they say with two grains of salt. So if they're reporting that it's not working, like I said, talk about run fear through the world, which it should run fear through the world. As I say it like this, all these people that are sitting out there, you know, all you guys, you know, you old baby boomers that, you know, ran to Canada in Vietnam or did whatever and claimed to be a beatnik or a hippie, and then when it was all over, you went right back to your corporate freaking sponsorship and your bullshit hairsprayed lying-ass job. What are you going to do when you get called up with this draft card called cancer, leukemia?
Yeah.
Nuclear fallout causes leukemia. You know what the survival, okay, I got diagnosed in October. You know what the average survival rate once you get diagnosed is of leukemia, AML? 8 months. 8 months. And I tell people, you think you're just going to lay down and die? And it's nice. It is a painful, horrific, evil death. And literally, tens of millions are going to receive it via Fukushima. And so people think they're not going to expose. Wait till you get it and you get that draft card. Then you can see if you can run to Canada. And, you know, go turn on, I used to be an American Idol on TV.
Wow.
You know, and the media, there is a social movement being born, an environmental movement that is in the inception. I say it like this. I says last fall was the sex. The Occupy movement was the conception. That baby got born. And all the corporate media and all you deniers and you Fox News watchers and all you people that are in denial about this, it's okay. You're so left behind from this movement. This movement is happening right here, right now, in such a pure grassroots. And people like me, people like you, there's plenty of us out there. We know who all these corporate whores are. We know every single one of them by name. By name, and they're going to get exposed. I've been exposing them every day. They are going to be exposed, and the masses are going to turn on them like wolves. They're already starting to. They think this Occupy thing's over. they haven't no clue. They have no clue. It hasn't even started.
I think you're right, Kevin. So basically what you're divulging here is that it's beginning to break down over in Japan, and still none of the world governments that should be taking a responsible step to help are doing it. It's complete ignorance in our mainstream media in the Western world. What about in China and over there? Do you know anything? Are they saying anything?
Oh. Well, you're talking freaking a communist regime who enslaves their own people. You know, you people are getting hair extensions. I love those people. They're from the executed Chinese prisoners. You walk into a Walmart or you buy an Apple product. You're talking the most repressive society in the history of the world. Are you kidding? It blows my mind how ignorant the American population, as we fought for labor laws for all these years, environmental protection laws, how it's okay if it's half a world away. Oh, you know, they're exploiting children. They're using human slaves. They're executing people for body parts and hair extensions. You know, the conditions are so horrific, but that's okay as you walk into your Walmart and buy your shit. You know, it's obscene. I blame the American public for all of this. I really do blame the ignorant American. You can only be postured and groomed if you're allowed to be postured and groomed. And, you know, this whole philosophy we have, it's all about the economy, the Western world, and the politicians, just like the bailout in the EU and the bailout here. Oh, well, let's bail out banks. Why are we bailing out banks after what's happened in the United States and the EU's doing it now? You know, when we knocked down NAFTA, did you think there was not a price to pay when they took all our jobs from Western Europe and the United States and put them over there for slaves making 37 cents an hour that are committing suicide?
Yeah.
Standing over with guns. Did you not think there was going to be a price to pay for that? All these morons, as you walk into, you know, Walmart and get your cheap goods and you buy your Chinese-made General Motors car?
Yeah. It's you're rolling along with all of the reasons why the world needs to shift its where it's at. The paradigm has to move. It has to change.
Well, and the problem now is that the mega, mega Trump card has been unleashed. Economics, religion, philosophy, you know, politics. There's one thing that trumps it all, our health via the environment. And
right.
Fukushima is raining. Fukushima has been pushed into the Pacific for 500 days. Let's be clear, plutonium's half-life is 24,100 years. Exposure to plutonium gives you AML, not chronic leukemia, not juvenile leukemia. It gives you AML leukemia 20, 30 years later, 15, and it kills you. AML leukemia survival rate is less than 30% for just 18 months. It is an evil, evil killer, and that's
what
radiation does. It kills you.
So this is mutating the human species as we are right now on the planet. This is going to put a capsule on.
It's going to give hundreds of millions of people cancer later in their life, and they're just going to say, my loved one died of cancer, God's will, just like my father was human guinea pigged in the Nevada test site. You know, I've written books and ranted and raved. You know, this story of mine is so unbelievable as I rant and rave and carry on about nuclear fallout and cancers. My father was human guinea pig, drafted Marine, put into the trenches in the blast, 40,000 Marines, human guinea pig, wrapped up in a flag and murdered by the United States government, and they all died of leukemia, all 40,000. And I've been writing about it, I've been ranting about it, and as I'm writing and ranting about it, I get the very thing I've been ranting and raving about. October 13th, after I've been ranting for years.
I know.
I get exactly what I'm at. What's his Cornell says that, he says, the nuclear industry hates you so bad, he says, I think they sent it to you in the mail.
Oh, jeez. That's quite something to say.
Yeah, it's, well, you know.
You are doing well. You're recovering right now. You're rebounding.
Oh, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. If people had, I tell everybody, go visit an AML unit in your town, leukemia. But the problem is they won't let you in, because they're quarantined units, because they take us to zero, so no one can get in. I was quarantined for so long, you know, so no one knows, so no one sees this. No one sees this. No one knows the fight. You can't get in there. It is an epic, and the problem is people between the ages of 20 and 35 years old,
mm-hmm.
getting this disease and dying is up 1,600% in the last 10 years. The hospital I'm in is the number one AML leukemia unit in the world. And good luck getting in. I had some money.
What is the name of the facility, Kev?
I'm at top of LDS, which is not LDS. LDS Hospital has been here since 1882 in Salt Lake, which is, I'm in the top. It's not LDS. It's just named that. They kept the name. And it's a group of doctors who quit the Huntsman, by the way, and their motto is if you want to eat the good food and stay in the hotel, go to the Huntsman Cancer Institute, which is right across the valley. If you want to live, you come here. It's some guys from Cedars-Sinai, some guys from the Mayo Clinic, some guys from Huntsman who organize this. It's cutting edge as it gets. It's a group therapy. They have what they call rounds. they debate your case, a group of doctors, they're world class as it gets, they're cutting edge as it gets. They do bone marrow transplants in there, and they take some of the, that's some of the sickest people in the world, you know, 30-year-old female, 23-year-old female, 33-year-old male, 27, two, three bone marrow transplants, people that have no chance of living. They're you know, they're using everything they can to save them.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And they know, and I'll tell you, and like I said, I grew up in Utah. Hell, I live here. We all know what down went. We grew up right next to the Nevada test site. Our governor in 1983, which, by the way, was a progressive liberal named Scott Matheson, who was very, very beloved here,
yeah,
who grew up in southern Utah, died of leukemia, 54 years old, and everybody has those stories. So as we grew up in Utah, we all know the effects of nuclear fallout. We all, this state knew it to the 10th power. You know, so it was no new subject. Well, it's just like everything else. This country's got freaking memories as long as they're dicks. They can't remember nothing. So now we've all forgotten, been fairy tale groomed by Rupert's machine. You know, these political posturing machines, and you know, these media whores. The fourth branch of government is—they betray. It is purely, purely betrayal. It is purely betrayal.
Yes, I would say it is on so many levels that it does it. The constituency just doesn't mean anything. It's all about the corporate overlords.
It's the advertisers, you know, how would you like to be an advertiser on Fox News or even CNN for that matter the last 15 years? These guys could sell freaking cyanide lace Kool-Aid to their masses and they gobble it up. Look at the, I mean, these morons buy anything these freaking idiots ship them. They are nothing but led around. They're worse than dogs on a leash. I never seen such groomed, postured sheeple. They're pathetic. They're pathetic. Whatever they feed them, you know.
There's been a pall over the demonstrators and activists community for the last couple of months. Occupy is actually, Occupy has a large Congress going on right now in Philadelphia. It's being live streamed, and you can find the links anywhere in social media right now. There are things going on, but there's been no motion from the, you know, it's all the motion is at the bottom from us. But the 1% and the political animal in this country and abroad, there is no motion. It's the same old, same old. Look what's going on over in Europe right now. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but in Europe at this moment, it is basically all of them falling in line behind the IMF, you know?
Unbelievable. How can we?
Austerity programs are winning out, and Obama has actually put austerity in place in this country, and people aren't seeing that, you know?
Yep. Well, his hands are tied. I love it how everybody gets so wound up and venomous about the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he is powerless. That guy is so powerless. He's the most powerless president in history. Let's remember, we have a teabagger, mentally ill, psychotic freaking Congress. Let's be clear. Mike Lee, right here. Mike Lee, our senator. Mike Lee, this is not a congressman. This is a United States senator. Ran as a fiscal responsible teabagger. While he was running, his house was in foreclosure. His house was short sold 2 weeks ago. He was evicted for the house. He paid $1.1 million. It was short sold for $700,000. Well, in the state of Utah, these collection goons here are insane. Any debt can be sold to, and this is the debt attorney capital of the world. These Mormons love to sue each other, go after debt. Okay, that $400,000 in the short sold is public debt, can be bought up by anybody, and they garnish your wages. He has a federal job, the first United States senator, sitting senator, United States history, to have his house foreclosed on. He is $900,000 to the bad on his balance sheet. And this is who the teabaggers voted for their fiscal responsible. This is their fiscal responsible leader in Moronville here. These are the dumbest people in the world here.
Yeah,
and
the masses have proved themselves to be pretty largely unaffected by any kind of
truth.
I mean, any kind of truth that comes their way, they don't want to hear it. They'd rather watch reality television or put more debt on their backs by going shopping. It seems like we've been programmed to do that as a society by so many politicians for the last 30 years that people are just falling in line with it. But now, in Japan, you have the template again of demonstration and activism, and this is for a very serious, serious cause. And I'm wondering, Kevin, what do you think? When do you think this news will break over here?
Well, I've been breaking it. A lot of people have been breaking it. And there's more and more people freaking becoming aware. But I say it like this. I say right now as you and I speak, right now, this the greatest environmentalist movement, the greatest social movement in the history of the world is being born right now. I don't give a damn if the corporate media and the sheeple out there and these morons aren't watching. It is happening right here, right now, and this thing is going to explode literally like a nuclear bomb, and it's going to explode over this summer and this fall. Mark my words. And this thing is not going to be this posture and a groom. And, you know, that's the thing where I so disagreed the whole time. I've always disagreed with the left and their let's just have a latte and eat an organic tomato and their softness. The progressive movement was always powerful. This left movement of being, you know, just like the Occupy movement and waving their hands and clapping and let's have another drum circle and let's go hug a tree is the biggest massive failure. Bobby Kennedy, John Kennedy, Harry Truman, Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, Rachel Carson, Martin Luther King, John Steinbeck, these guys were powerhouse. People feared them. They said people used to walk in the White House. Grown men 6'5", 300 pounds would shake, getting their knees weak when Bobby Kennedy would get in their face. The liberals were powerful. They would fight these guys. They said Bobby Kennedy would fist fight you.
Yeah,
Harry Truman, he would say, you know, he gave his fame.
For the movement. For the leadership of the non-leadership of Occupy, people like Chris Hedges, people like, I mean, Margaret Flowers.
I love Chris Hedges. You know, he's brilliant. But the thing is, we've got to get tough. I hate to say this, but you read up your history books of how the 30s movement, the child labor movement evolved. It was bloody. It was very, very bloody.
Yeah,
you know, we don't want to talk about that. That is a taboo. I'm like, oh, really? Let's talk about any movement. And, you know, it's this, the line that I like to use over and over and over. In Germany, the ones that peacefully walked into the train cars.
Yeah.
That's what we've turned into. For 40 years, we have peacefully walked into the freaking rail car. We peacefully went and took the shower. And these hairsprayed radical evil still at any cost, Karl Rove pieces of shit are bullies just like when you was a kid in the 7th grade and they put you in the corner. There is only one way to deal with a bully. You crack that punk in his fucking mouth. It is that simple. And the left, the day Bobby Kennedy was killed, that's when it was over. They haven't punched anybody in the mouth. They go crawl in the freaking corner. Al Gore proved that when Bush stole the election.
I'm thinking here that it would be safe to say that you are basically a supporter of the Black Bloc resistance movement and the diversity of tactics to get attention and to bring focus back.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Okay.
Just like
no,
they were in the '60s, just like they were in the '30s. Okay.
We were talking about it yesterday. You know, in the last, are you familiar with Lillian Hellman's stories?
Yes.
There was one that particularly affected me years ago, and they made a movie of it called Watch on the Rhine. Do you know what I mean? What story I'm talking about? Do you know that story?
I do know that story.
I think of resistance, and I think of the words of the husband, the character of the husband played by Paul Lucas, and how he said, you know, violence is always wrong, and yet when children are being starved, something has to give. And
well,
so,
go ahead.
Well, in that knowledge, in that awareness, I certainly support resistance and my Black Bloc brothers and sisters. I myself am nonviolent. I'm a healer, man. I take
yeah, me too.
And I walk that, but I will not desert them, and I'll stand right beside
well,
them.
Well, you know what? I have a problem, one thing. With I love the Occupy movement as far as they go, but I have one problem. How
yeah.
can you use that logo with the clenched fist? Do you know that logo? You do know the inception of that logo, and you know the history of that logo. In 1968, as he stood on the freaking, you know, thing, that was serious. Black Panthers, freaking all kinds of things, but this was serious freaking resistance. People who fought and really fought. So how can you use that logo and do a drum circle and sit there and clap and lower your voices and use hand signals? Take that fucking logo down if you're not going to do it. If you're not going to get tough and fight back, then take that logo down and put up a latte with an organic tomato.
Well, actually, you know, it wasn't Occupy that basically commandeered that logo. It was factions of the group in other places.
You know, the Occupy movement has power, and the ones in Berkeley and the ones in Portland that we got no media, and I was at UCLA when I got sick, and I'll tell you what, that was not passive. It was not passive. None of it in California has been passive, especially in Northern California and Seattle and Portland. It is not passive. It hasn't been reported. It was as far from passive as you can get. So the media trying to play it, and the pacifists, as I call them, the left latte drinkers who have ruined their two-party system. The left latte drinkers are as much to blame as the radical, hairsprayed, fake radical Christians, who are the devil, by the way. You know, the Karl Rove, they're as much to blame because they allowed these freaks to radicalize. They allowed not to put W in prison. They allowed W to seal the election without having riots and protests. You know, the elections were stolen in this country before, in the 1880s. You need to read up on it. Those people couldn't even take the White House. Harrison could not take the White House for months because of the protests and the riots in this country.
Right.
So these pacifists that, you know, want to just spew and get in a drum circle, I find it comical. I find it laughable.
It isn't the same push. Well, I will tell you this. I mean, it's Mike Check is the name of the show. And not only is Occupy Congress meeting several people from Occupy groups all over this country in South America right now are in Philadelphia meeting and creating all week long activism. They've already put out a schedule for this week. And one of the finer listings that they're putting out is creating a presence and having people from all across the country in the Occupy movement right now commit to and make arrangements to be at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte.
You know what kind of security is going to be there?
Oh,
you ain't going to get near it.
No, you talk
just
about...
Like, and here's what Obama will do, just the same thing he did on Chicago. He'll backdoor them somehow. You know, they knew. You know, look at the organization that was fueled up by Occupy in Chicago. They backdoored that. Oh, let's move it to Camp David.
Yeah.
You know, and then not only that, how many people went to prison? They were going to lock people up before you even get there. So the idea of doing these big Occupies where you show up, when you announce you're showing up and everybody knows you're showing up, you know how many people were arrested in pre-Chicago for nothing that are still sitting in jail cells that didn't even do anything?
Well, there are a couple, yes. But here's the other part about that. There were several pieces of news and news clips and stories that came out of Occupy showing up in Chicago that made it to current television and Democracy Now! And further out there with news and finally got onto the mainstream media with some kind of messaging that was meant to come out of it from our point of view. So when they set it up so that they know they're coming, I think they have a plan on why they're doing it. I really do. I think there's a strategy.
Good, I hope they do. You know, I've renamed Democracy Now!, you know that, which I have some serious ties with them people. I've renamed them I'm a Pussy Now. So,
why?
You know, that's what we are. I mean, I'm all for their ideas, and they're smart, and I love everything they have to say, and I love everything they do. but they're too soft. When is the left going to start fighting the right? This system was set up to go to war. This two-party system was set up to bang heads and freaking fight, and it has always been that way. It is simply this. The pacification of the left since 1968, the pacification of the left is as much to blame as the radical ignorance of the right. They stopped fighting and become pacifists. The pacifist idealism, which Jefferson, Hamilton, every single one of them knew. They wrote about it. And they talked about it. They knew it was a giant failure. You know, we can all lay down and play Gandhi until we all have leukemia and die. Not me. Not me. I'll tell you right now. I go at it. I had a bumper sticker on my car the day, and I live in Kool-Aid, heart of Ignorantville, USA, Mormon nutcase, USA. I had a bumper sticker on my car that says, "Bush lied, soldiers died." I would literally get in 4 or 5 fights a day. I'd say, "You want to fight? Let's fight." I had cops pulling me over. I'd say, "You know what? Put your gun down. You want to fight? Let's fight." I am not afraid of these guys. Just like Bobby Kane, I tell everybody, I am not afraid. They want to pepper spray me? I wish one of these cops had pepper sprayed me like they did in Berkeley. I'll guarantee if they pepper sprayed me, that guy would pay the price like he never paid the price through the court systems. I would sue him personally. I would organize freaking protests on his front lawn every day. I would be on his front lawn standing there every day.
There's a class action against him. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah, okay.
I would be sitting up in his front lawn. I would have a bonfire on his front lawn. I would guarantee it. You know, I'm one of these guys, if people say an eye for an eye, I'm 10 eyes for an eye. I really am. I shook Edward Abbey's hand many times when I was a boy. I was raised by some of the strongest environmentalists right here in Utah. You know, as he wrote the Monkey Wrench Game, I knew Wallace Stegner personally. You know, all these guys, I would love for those guys to come back alive today. I can matter Edward Abbey if somebody coming up to him and say, "Hey, I drive a Prius. I'm an environmentalist." You know, I tell everybody when I did that spoof on the Monkey Wrench Game on Tim DeChristopher. I'm a Tim DeChristopher guy. I love that kid. He is in prison right now. You ever listen to him speak? You ever listen?
Yeah.
He is the movement of the young activist. You know, I tell this thing has been born, and this young child's going to want it. This young child's going to turn into one rowdy teenager. And this rowdy teenager, it's going to happen quick. And Tim DeChristopher is their guy. You just listen to what he says. That is the heat of the youth movement. And I'll tell you what, this country better wake up to these youth because they're angry, they're repressed, and they're kicked into a corner. And they're going to lash out like a mean, vicious dog soon.
They have no hope. To a certain extent, if you listen to what's going on in Oakland, some of them are, but without any kind of guidance or direction. When they lash out without any conviction, guidance or direction, looking to make attention to them, pull attention to themselves with one message and nothing further beyond that, it's not a winning social movement.
That is grassroots that will encompass the earth and change the earth, just like the neocons. Ronald Reagan was a John Bercher. As the John Berchers took over, you think people, the social fabric of the 1980s as it took over this earth, knew what they were protesting about? No. You can ask the teabagger or Republican any fundamental foundation of that move. They don't have a clue. So that's why I think this, well, I know this thing has happened because just what you just said. These people are lashing out, that is the true breath. That is the true breath of a real social movement. They feel it, they sense it, they know it, they can't quantify it, but they feel it. And that is economic repression, that is sexual repression that is lashing out. And you get into raw, raw, raw emotions. And when you get into raw emotions, the philosophy cracks down, breaks down, and a new one comes out of it. And that's exactly what's going on right now. This is pure, raw grassroots emotion.
I tell you what, I played a piece of Chris Hedges about faith and resistance and how, you know, you have an explosion of activity, but people remain faithful to it. And he spoke about the revolutions in the Eastern Bloc. I mean, he was there.
He's great.
He brought it all to the forward, and he said, you know, for me, I watched it. I saw this young boy self-immolate, and people remembered who he was all through it, and they held on to it. And I defy you, Kevin, to find anybody right now involved in Occupy who does not know who Mohamed Bouazizi is. He
yeah.
banged it out. And since him and to Tahrir Square and to Zuccotti Park, I think people are still hanging on, and that's the thing Hedges was saying. There is a certain amount of faith in revolution, and there's a time and a season for everything, and I think we have to remember that. Things are a lot quicker now. I do think something will happen in Charlotte. I think you're right.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, the thing is like I say, it's been born. These social movements, even with the Internet, even with We Are Quicker, they take a long time. The conservative movement, as they broke down the great progressive movement from 1934 to 1980, the strongest middle class, the most socialistic system in the history of the world, be clear, the most socialistic people in the history of socialism was the United States from 1934 to 1980, and that is fact. I teach this subject in the number one MBA program in the United States. As I come out to, and I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone in the world, and as they broke that down, it took the neocons 30 years for the neoconservative freaking military, the military fake Christian radical complex to be born. It took 30 years.
Yeah.
So this one's not going to happen overnight, but it is happening. You know, I'll probably be dead and gone, you know, but...
Oh, me too.
At least...
But we are the spear chuckers. We are the point carriers. We're the on front guard. We're building the platform. And right now what's pushing it and shoving it, and it's going to get up to, you know how when you got to pee and it's on your back teeth? What's going on right now is the poison that the profiteering 1% is dumping into this planet and destroying so quickly. People are looking up in the skies and seeing blue sky, but it's an illusion anymore.
Well, you know, nuclear fallout, which nuclear fallout hasn't even been around since the 40s, it is accumulative. People don't realize it is. We all have the Nevada test site in us. We all have Chernobyl. It's now we have a massive amount of Fukushima, and it is sending people over the top to their deaths, and they don't even know. You know, millions of people are dying right now from Fukushima, right now as I speak, from Fukushima, from Chernobyl. They're getting cancer, and they, oh, God, my whole neighborhood's had cancer. Everybody over here's had cancer. Oh, I don't know why. Oh, could it be the benzene in the water and the environment and the, you know, invisible nuclear poisoning? It is factual. Exposure to radiation, exposure to benzene causes leukemia, thyroid cancer. You think it's coincidence that Utah is the thyroid cancer capital of the world? It is the autism capital of the world?
Not a bit.
Because the open air tests. And now Fukushima is sending us over the top. Fukushima has been pointing to the Pacific Ocean for 500 days. Chernobyl happened for 87. 50,000 men went in and entombed Chernobyl. Out of that 50,000, over 20,000 are already dead. The other 30,000 dying. There's a great documentary. It's called The Battle for Chernobyl, 1986 award-winning. And she says in her quote, it's got to be the greatest quote of all time, the worst thing to come out of that nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl, out of that reactor, was not cesium, was not plutonium. It was lies. Those lies set the table for Fukushima. They set the table for this, and this is Chernobyl on Balco.
I hear you.
You know, I've been calling out Sanjay Gupta to the 10th, or 2 weeks after this happened. 2 weeks, CNN. This is the man that was going to be the Attorney General. He was nominated by Obama to be the Attorney General of the United States. He has huge credibility. He did his show. His medical show that millions watched 2 weeks after Fukushima. He did it with malice. He should be in a prison cell. And he's talked to this freelance journal, and they says, oh, yeah, I went over to Chernobyl. There's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. He put up a picture of people fishing at Chernobyl as he knew the plutonium was being pushed into the Pacific. You know, let's be clear. Let's be clear. The entire Chernobyl region is abandoned. It is a sci-fi movie over there. The wolves have taken over. Fishing at Lake Chernobyl, not one fish has spawned in Lake Chernobyl. Not one human being has even been in that water in 25 years. People from the Ukraine are dying in droves, many, many thousands a week to this day. And this Fukushima is thousands of times, many thousands of times, what Chernobyl is. And people have got their head up their ass. They have got their head up there so far up their ass. You go and listen to the NRC themselves 6 days after. Those things have been released. The Freedom of Information Act, guys like me, I've been filing lawsuits against the Justice Department and the Freedom of Information Act for 20 years. I'm the one who got all this video released on the atomic bomb and these photographs. I'm the guy who got those released, me and my uncle, through lawsuits after the death of my father. You know, they lied about that. The plutonium situation that is happening in Japan is so epic proportions, and the protests that are going on there are the biggest story of our time, and no one even knows it.
Wow.
So, you know, I tell everybody, put that in your crack pipe and smoke on it a while. When you get called up with your draft card, call cancer, and you're standing in that room, and that doctor tells you, oh, I'm so sorry, you have cancer. And these doctors don't play around no more. You know, in the old days, they would sugarcoat it and be your cheerleader. They get sued. So they tell you right here, first doctor looked at me right in the eyes the day I got sick like I hit by a truck. The first doctor had me diagnosed, looked me right in the eyes, says, Kevin, I hate to say this, but maximum, you probably have 90 days to live. Go through that one. Try that one. And these treatments and this suffering that you go through is epic. It is epic. And I mean epic. They have a big thing on the wall down there. It says your level of pain, 1 through 10, and they have a thing. You have entered a whole new level of pain. You ain't seen pain till you get cancer like this. And I'm telling you, millions and millions and millions and millions are going to get it. They're getting it right here, right now. And they want to build more. And they're building more. People need to wake up. People need to pull their heads out of their ass and quit getting caught up. It's like on the local level. Everybody, Obama's a socialist. Who's going to be president? Who's your local congressman? Who's your city council? I don't know. How's that benzene you're drinking in your water? Have you read anything up on that? How's that fracking coming in through your freaking toilet? How's that working out for you? They're job creators. You dummy down, ignorant, Kool-Aid drinking morons. That's what this country is.
Jeez.
You know, quantifiably, I was working on my PhD called Post-Ignorance when I got sick, which I was quantifiably trying to prove, which it has been heavily documented by all kinds of social scientists, that the United States public is the dumbest people in modern history in education-wise. There's a famous Harvard study which basically just takes a subset of 12 questions, and it's stuff you can't deductively think, it's education. Question one, name two Supreme Court justices. Question two, a blank map of the states. Show me where Minnesota, California, and Kentucky are. Question three, show me the blank map. Where is France? Where is Spain? All kinds of deductive thinking questions. The lowest scores in modern history, and that test has been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
We have been testing for 15 years at less than 1%. Less than 1%. When just 30 years ago, we were over in the 50 percentile. You know, 70 years ago, we were in the 70 percentile. So why are we so pathetically stupid? We are.
Well, because they've dumbed down the country. They've dumbed down.
Well, it's real easy. I tell everybody it's economics stupid. I proved it in my PhD. The average American in the United States in today's dollars in 1965 and 1975 made $116,000 a year. The average American, if you fold in the 20 million illegals being cashed, the average American makes less than $20,000 a year. It is really that. So you got people working 65 hours a week to just stressing their ass off to drive that brand new shiny car to their fake styrofoam, fake rock house, back and forth, stressing out. No wonder they catch a 10-second sign bite. And Rupert knew this. Rupert was an activist from hell. Rupert, make no mistake about it. Rupert Murdoch, the Orwellian freak, was an activist. He has been a big-time political activist, and you got to give it to him. He has controlled the world more than Hitler ever did. Hitler would have freaking bowed to him. He would have bowed to him. What he has been able to do in the Western world is of epic, epic, staggering proportions. And he set out to do exactly what he has done.
Yeah,
and it's worked.
Right there. People really think Fox News is telling them the truth. Even when they get the facts presented to them, they still would rather believe bullshit.
Yes, because they have turned economics and politics into religion. As 85% of these hair-sprayed fake radicals, which they are the devil, by the way, all these people who attend a church on a regular basis and check that elephant as they mass murder in Iraq, as they commit all these atrocities in the name of Christianity, are really the devil. They are all going to rot in hell, every last. I tell everybody, anybody who voted for Bush the second time is going to hell if you believe in any kind of Christianity whatsoever. It is asymmetric to Christianity. These people think it's religion. They think for somehow they vote for whatever, you know, the I love it when the Paul Ryan budget came out. Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, every moron in the world, that the GOP just puts out a talking line and they just regurgitate it over and over and over and over. They're the dumbest people in the history of the world. And this demographic of the United States, if you're smart and you're hardworking, you will become rich. They broke that down. No, if you're stupid and radical and a moron, know how to serve up radical, idiotic bullshit, you become rich. Sarah Palin is proof of that. The dumbest person, maybe, she's got to have an IQ probably in the 85 area.
Oh,
and she is a multimillionaire. Mike Huckabee, IQ, no way his IQ is over 90. I will guarantee it. He'll be stinking rich.
That is what really screws me up sometimes. I have a small business. It's a little mom and pop. But however, I run my business with an integrity. And I won't be churning out mechanized bottles of goods kind of thing. I actually do it the old-fashioned way because that's
right. Well, you're going to lose if you do it right. That is the story of America the last 30 years. If you do everything you were taught to do when you were a kid, and I was taught by our dads, by our uncles, by our school teachers, by our scoutmaster, by our church leader, work hard, integrity, hard work, integrity, honesty, hard work, integrity, on which this country was founded on, you do that. So you're a business person. And the guy next to you has got fake hairspray on. He's a fat-ass, radical piece of dog shit. He's exploiting legals, paying them cash, cheating the system in a white-collar fashion any way he can. Not only do you fail, your wife leaves you, your husband leaves you, you probably end up an alcoholic and commit suicide, and this fat-ass, pure liar becomes successful. That is the story of America. That is who America is. Point blank. Mitt Romney is the perfect example. Never worked a day in his life. Never. You know, his wife comes on TV and says, oh, I raised kids. Go tell that to the 15 nannies and the 15 maids. She never worked a day in her life. It has become a country of white-collar criminals and liars and scammers. And it has broke down the entire social fabric of this country.
I'm not agreeing everything, but for the major part of it, it shows itself open. It really does. I hear you.
Well, go run a business on integrity. Pay your employees fairly. And it's like the fence. And we never had a fence. We never had a legal immigration. I was a contractor for years. If I was to pay people, whether it be illegals or legal, cash, I would have been in handcuffs. They have to, you know, it's just turn the other cheek. We don't need new laws. We need to enforce them. This has never been about the exploited. This is the exploiter. Mitt Romney having illegals mow his lawn. Here's $5. You worked all week. Here's a 20 spot for the month. Here, you know, go find some food stamps somewhere. Well, what are they going to do? Run to the police and say, hey, this guy's exploiting me? Sue them in court? What, so they get deported? So it's the Republican hairspray radical way. They love it just the way it is. They broke down any integrity, any honesty. They backdoored every freaking thing we have fought for in this country for 100 years. It is the shirt waist fire girls all over again, but it's happening in China as we run to Walmart or these hungry people from the South. Exploit in the name of Christianity, and that's okay. And it's legal. It's not legal, but it is legal. This pseudo de facto government that we have. Us, you know, pick and choose what laws we enforce. White collar crime is not only legal, it is encouraged.
Yeah.
And it's encouraged through your religion, your fake radical Christian bullshit. That's who we are. That's who this country
control.
Is.
I get you. I've always balked against authority. It just seemed natural for me.
How do you compete with a okay, if you got a business like the solar panel business, for instance, we gave them all them subsidies. Okay, how do you compete with a company? What's to stop a company from paying a Chinese slave in a Chinese prison who's falsely incarcerated zero or maybe 10 cents an hour or 37 cents an hour in a bowl of rice a day as your labor? Because the biggest part of any business is labor. Okay, so how do you compete with that? You don't. You don't.
And again, you don't.
So you fail.
You don't try, from my point of view, I don't do anything anybody else is doing. I'm unique. I've created something unique. If somebody's copying me, and they've done that before, it still comes back to me better.
Well, you're an exception to the rule.
Well, I'm a craftsperson. I'm a maker. Everything, it's like being an artisan. Now, you know about that. The work you do, you do.
My business got destroyed here by exploiters. My plaster business, I had a multi-million-dollar plaster. I had a multi-million-dollar. It was not uncommon for me to make $2-3 million a year in my plaster business, hands-on. Such custom work was and I was a derivative arbitrage specialist on Wall Street. Very, very successful. People don't realize the employment class in Wall Street has been desecrated by the computer. These fat cat assholes on Wall Street, they have destroyed that entire industry, including me. They took me out of the equation. Everybody that was on Wall Street lost their jobs. There were plenty of honest people on Wall Street. They've been replaced by the computer.
And
flash trading.
In the chat room, that in this country there's plenty of cheap labor to be had because we're actually building the prisons to house them.
Yeah, that's true. Here we go right here. I'm standing there looking at one of the assholes, biggest private prison builders in the world. He's a goody-goody, calls himself a Mormon, lives up in the hill on the big ass. He's an asshole. I know him really well. He has made mega fortunes the last 23 years in the private prison industry, which is a grotesque. You think about that whole industry, the way it's grown up, and the incentive to put, oh, God, you got caught with a bag of weed. Here's 10 years. Why don't you, and they're employing them in the prison. It is no bullshit. It is true.
I know. It really sucks. It's ridiculous that people are going through it. We protest against it. We lobby against it. We ask our senators, our congressmen, our local elected officials to do something about it. We put it on the bill. It gets voted down. It gets taken off.
Yeah, we got no shot.
Seems like
our vote does not count. Our vote means shit.
Sorry?
Our vote does not count. You think you're, I tell my students, I get in a lot of trouble when I used to teach. My lectures are radical. I wrote fuck across the board, and then I go into the whole thing, and then I tell them, why are you wasting your gas money? If you think your vote counts in this country, you are so pathetically stupid, it is unreal. It means nothing. Your vote, and if Gold Bush doesn't prove that to you, the thing is, think about the United States fabric. Bush did not win. Yeah, that's factually. And the fourth branch of government never reported it, and the New York Times says, we, as the seven independent studies went in and dug into those votes and it took them, when did the New York Times, the article bust loose that everybody was going to report? 2 weeks after 9/11. So, we buried it in the seventh page because we didn't want to, we were patriots. So, there you go. We have no media. Our media is pathetic. Where was everybody? Where was everybody when these lies were happening?
It's not representing anything, and we are down to it, Kev. We're actually, you must be sitting at your daughter's. We are down to the end of the show.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on.
Like I said, anybody, sitting back, that's, why do you think I wear that white beater? Why do you think I use the F word every other word? You think I talk like that in public? No, I do. This is a purpose. This is a socioeconomic movement of mine called post-ignorance. It is a grassroots movement, a personal one that started long before Occupy, and the people that started Occupy were in the chat rooms with me when they started. I spend a lot of time in Lower Manhattan. I gave a speech at Washington Square on the shirtwaist girls long before. And so this is my own personal grassroots movement, and that's what it's all about. That's what I'm all about.
Well, I agree with you. I think we all have to, in whatever unique way we can contribute to the whole, the community that is out there, and really needs to, as Hedges was saying this past week, keep resistance, keep it in our hearts, live our truth is basically what he was saying. And
yeah,
I'm in
that's
complete agree.
Very well said.
That.
Me too.
And thank you for being with me today. Appreciate
it. Okay. Get back to me.
I will.
And one last thing before I go, they'll be calling you a radical. Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Kev. Really appreciate your time. And that's what we've got for you today. Kevin coming on, giving you an update, giving us all an update on the hundreds of thousands of people who are actually taking to the streets right now in Japan. That is going on. There is a website called the Fukushima Diary, and I am going to put a link in the chat room so you can go over there and take a look. It's the only news I have found that's going on right now coming out of Japan. Also, please remember that Occupy Wall Street, the site, has about 8 new listings and a link to the live. Ooh, lost my mouse, lost my whole thing. Occupy Wall Street has a listing now for all of the new actions throughout July and up to creating, strategizing, and planning for the Democratic Convention in Charlotte and rebooting some enthusiasm and some action. Dancing in the streets at Summer Forbes. Thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it. And all you folks who listen in the podcasts or the archives, thanks for stopping by. The Consciousness Shift on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Be here with us, and I'm going to...
Hey there, it's Gwen, and this is the tail end of the show. Occupy Mic Check, and a little message out there for my virtual family, whom I do love so much. Don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. Occupy, stick true to your heart, stick true to your feelings and your politics. Sunday, 6 p.m., the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters, me, Jack Jodell. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay, and that's it. That's what we've got for you today. Want to show our appreciation. Vorp, thanks a lot. And thank you to Krell and Free Market Socialists and the other folks who came and went. That's it. Be safe out there.